Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Yesterday was a wonderful, wonderful service that we had here, and tonight we're back for Bible study. There's nothing like kind of a double, you know, just hitting it twice, a double portion. Why not? Why not a double portion? Tonight we're actually continuing our Bible study on the patriarchs, and you know that we're studying Abraham, and it's kind of funny because we're not even studying Abraham. We're studying Abram. We're not even that far to where he got his name changed. So we're going to be here a while, and we're going to just journey on with Abram and Abraham. And we're now in chapter 13, and by way of review, I'm going to just do a short review. We talked about how Abraham was in Canaan, and when there came a severe famine, he took a wrong turn on purpose. Have we ever made wrong decisions, and we knew they were wrong? We did it on purpose, and it was his decision to go to Egypt, not God's. God did not authorize him leaving Canaan or going to Egypt. He was not supposed to leave the place of blessing, which sometimes we do, and secondly, he was not supposed to go to Egypt. So basically, I want to say it like this. He made two back-to-back wrong choices. First, to leave the place God had sent him to, and the second choice was to go to Egypt. So he made two wrong choices, leave the place of blessing. The second one was to go to Egypt. How many times, if we tell one lie, do we wind up having to tell another lie and another lie and another lie? Because one wrong decision can lead to multiple wrong decisions. Am I right or am I wrong? So many times that happens. And so Abram is making wrong decisions one right after another. But God has a way of getting our attention, and sometimes the consequences will get our attention. And the bad thing about him going to Egypt was, remember, God had told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees because they worshiped idols and his family worshiped idols. So you got to leave your family and you got to leave those idols behind. And yet, when there came a famine in Canaan, he went to Egypt, and guess what they were? They were idol worshipers. And so Abraham, in the game of Monopoly, you now just put your part back to square one because you're now back to a place of idol worship, but for the grace of God. And we talked about the fact that in Chaldees, in the Ur of the Chaldees, they worship the sun, moon, and stars. They worship the creation of God more than God who created these things. Now, God was not pleased that they worshiped his creation, even though he made his creation. God is a jealous God. He's not jealous of us that we're so great. He's jealous for us. He wants that relationship to be exclusive with him. He says, not me, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, Abraham and Ur had settled, you know, temporarily in Haran, which was exactly halfway from where Abraham was supposed to be in Terah. And we can't go halfway with God. We can't serve God halfway. It never works that way. It does not. So Abram went to Egypt, and he made another wrong choice in lying. Him and Sarah lied, and it was his lie. I'm going to call it Abram's lie. And when we make wrong decisions in life, it always affects other people. Am I right on that? A wrong choice that I make will affect me, it will affect my family members, it will affect my church, and many, many other people. Eventually, Abram was kicked out of Egypt, and he went back to Bethel. Now we have our first right choice. He's made some wrong decisions, and he sees that those wrong decisions have consequences. And so now he's decided he's going to go back, and I appreciate this. Thank God he gives us second chances. So verse 3 says, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, to the place of bread and praise, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Sometimes we need to go back to the beginning where we first met Jesus and we can hear the voice of God. But there's something even better in verse 4. I love this because it makes it very clear. I don't care that he just went back to Bethel. You know, it's not good enough to just go back to church. It's not good enough to just go back to the beginning. Here's what verse says for. He went back to the place of the altar where he had made there at the first. He went back to the beginning where he started from, and that was the place of the altar. This is the place to start, at the altar of God. And there, the Bible says, Abram called upon the name of the Lord. What a right decision. Go back to the altar and call out to God. That's a right decision for us any time of the day, whether we're in off somewhere and are coming home or whether we're already here. Get to the altar and call on the name of the Lord. And this is a powerful lesson, actually, to go back to the altar and call upon the name of the Lord. But I always study, when I study the Word of God, I like to study every single word, every comma, every period, every time there's a break, a selah, whatever's there, I need to know. But also there's something more. Sometimes we have to read between the lines. God has hidden things not from us. Do you know that God does not hide things from us? He hides things for us. He hides things in his word, and he wants us to uncover those and dig for those. But here's something that I notice that God does. Sometimes in his word, because if we had everything, the Bible could not contain it about the universe. So God gives us what we need to know for living our life right now. But there's things that are not in God's word that give us insight into the lives of people and some lessons we can learn. Sometimes I had a situation many years ago where I was in a room with someone, and Pastor Ken and I were in the room, and we were talking to that individual, and Pastor Ken was expressing his loyalty to him, and I'm loyal to you, and I want to help you, and I want to bless you. And after we left the conversation, Pastor Ken said, well, you know, it seemed to go well. And I said, no, not really. I said, here's the deal. What he said was good. He didn't say enough. There was some things left unsaid that needed to be said. Now, here's what I learned when I looked at this with Abram, went back to the place of the altar and called upon the name of the Lord. At this very moment, this very second, Lot was right with him. Are we missing something here? Why does this verse not read, and Abram and Lot went back to the place of the altar and called upon the name of the Lord? We don't see. And let me just say something about that. He's with him, and it does not say that Lot went back to the place of the altar or called upon the name of the Lord. You know what it says about Lot? He had lots and lots of herds and flocks and blessings. It tells us that he had the blessings of the Lord, but I'm not seeing that he had the Lord or honored God. In fact, I have done my homework on this. I have studied Abram and Lot for years, and I do not one single time see Lot at the altar of the Lord or calling upon the name of the Lord at all. And we're going to see how it affected his life. And let me tell you, people, it did affect Lot's life. There is a difference. We didn't see it one time. And verse 6 continues on, and the land was not able to hold or contain them, that they might dwell together, for their blessings were so great that they could not dwell together. What is wrong with that statement? I've got so many blessings, I can't live by Miriam. We got too many blessings going on here. Excuse me? What is wrong with that? Well, verse 7 tells us what's wrong with that. And this is why they could not live together. And there was a strife. There was strife. There was arguing. There was fighting. There was fussing. There were feuds. There was serious fighting between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And Canaanite and the Pezerite dwelled then in the land. They were in a land with people that did not serve God, and they started acting like them. They started fighting. They had so much stuff that they had to fight about their stuff. They had to fight about these blessings. You know, you see this today. You know, hey, you know, I've got stuff, but I'm going to fight for your stuff too. And these were the employees, technically, of Abram and Lot, and they couldn't get it off. They could not get along. But I want to say something as we get a little deeper in this. I want to tell you who Abram was. Abram at this time was actually basically the adopted father of Lot, because Lot's father, Haran, had died, and also his grandfather. So Abram is now the patriarch of this family, which means that he is his elder and that he is his adopted father. And I'm going to say something right here because we're going to talk about it later. God did not ever authorize him bringing Lot with him, and we're going to find out exactly why as we continue on. And when there is fighting between the herdsmen, we're going to see that Abram wants peace, and I give him a lot of credit for that. I would like to, at this point, if I had to rename the story, I wouldn't call it the prodigal son. I would call it the story of the prodigal nephew, because this was Abram's nephew. And by now, Abram has had his own share of problems, some at his own, because he made wrong decisions. He's had trouble with his wife. He's had trouble with Pharaoh. And at this point in his adventure, he wants peace. He's decided he wants peace. He's at a good place. He's back at the altar. He's back at Bethel, where he started from. He's calling on the name of the Lord. He's serving God. I want peace now. I don't want more trouble. Verse 8 says, and Abram said to Lot, let there be no more fighting. This is how I know that Abram wants peace in his family, because he says it with his own mouth. I do not want this fighting. And if they can't be together, that's okay, but he just doesn't want fighting. Isn't that how you feel sometimes in life? You know what? We just don't see eye to eye. I don't want to fight anymore. I just want peace. And Abram said, so I pray thee, which means I'm pleading with you, between me and my herdsmen, that there be no fighting because we are brothers. Abram is a peacemaker at this point. He doesn't want the fighting or the arguing. So he's going to, basically in a few minutes, he's going to offer Lot a deal that Lot, he already knows, by the way. In Abraham's heart, he knows that Lot's heart is not in a right place. You can't miss that when you're close to someone. That Lot, he's going to make Lot a deal that he can't refuse because he knows his heart. Verse 9 says, is not this whole land before you? There's so much of this land. Separate yourself. Do this yourself. Because he knows what his heart is. I'm pleading with you. Separate yourself from me. If you take the left land and I will go to the right, or if you depart to the right, then I will go to the left. I'm going to tell you something about this. He's wanting him to leave. Just leave. Just get out of here. I'm saying it as nice as I know how. I guarantee you, by the way, there's more to this story. There's a lot more that we don't know about. Because he's begging, because it's gotten to this point. He's saying, separate yourself and leave. But he doesn't just say, separate yourself and leave. He's basically saying, I'm willing to pay you off. I'm willing to give you whatever you want. I will give you anything if you will just leave me. Just get rid of the fighting and leave. I can't deal with this anymore. We see the first occasion in the Bible of what I want to call severance pay. We're going to sever our relationship, and that's where severance pay comes from, is when there is a breaking or a separation, and I'm offering you something. You're going to leave with a blessing, because basically, not because I really want to give you all my money, I'd just rather give you my money than me. I just can't take this anymore. I'll do anything to get you out of here. Companies do it all the time, by the way. I'm going to offer you a buyout. He's offering him a buyout, a severance. And so verse 10 says, and Lot, in response to this, and by the way, I'm also going to tell you some more things about what's not in the Bible. And Lot lifted up his eyes and he gazed. Okay, this word gaze means he looked long and intently, and for a long time he set his sight upon. And Lot lifted up his eyes and gazed. He did not glance. He gazed at the plain of Jordan that was well-watered everywhere. And by the way, the plain of Jordan that was well-watered everywhere by Sodom and Gomorrah, eventually that wasn't well-watered plain. You know what God did to that land? God ripped through that land with a holy fire, and there was no more well-watered plain when God got done with it. But verse 9 says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. And so the fighting had really, really troubled Abram. He's offering Lot this choice that he can't refuse. And Lot is gazing longingly, intensely, and for a long time toward this. Now, I believe in my heart of hearts that Abram already knew that he had set his sights on that. You know when someone's gazing at a young lady or a young man or a young girl. You know when someone's gazing at somebody. They stare in the window at the piece of jewelry. I'm gazing at it. I'm looking at it. It's a desire for it. So I think Abram probably knew that. We don't know for sure. But then verse 11 says something that's very key. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Finally, Abram, Lot's leaving. This must have been a day when the mariachis came to town and said, hallelujah, Lot is gone, and they separated themselves. And verse 12 says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, by the way, which is right where God wants him to be. He's staying right where God wants him to be. It is Lot who is leaving now for another place. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's what he wanted all along. You don't go someplace that you don't want to. But Abram stayed where he was, and he's still where God left him. But watch out for Lot. But here's the thing. When Lot chose for himself, this is the decision. He was lifting up his eyes, and he's making a choice for himself. How many times do we choose for ourselves? That is a selfish choice. Now, let me tell you something. Even though Abram invited him to leave, Lot made that choice for himself. And I can tell you of a personal situation from years and years and years ago that we had someone in our lives, and I knew their heart wasn't right, and that person wasn't happy, and that person kept hearing, they're thinking of going, they, you know, are unhappy. And finally, I went to that individual and just said the words, kind of, they said, would you like to leave? And this person said immediately, yes. And I said to that person, I told him, I promise you, if you will leave, you will not leave without a blessing from this place. Because you get to the point where you're just like, I'm hoping this is going to happen. And I knew that. Now, he was saying the right things, but I knew his heart. In doing so, it was a very, very wrong choice for that individual. But thank God for peace, right? And what does it mean when Lot chose for himself? It means that he made a selfish choice. He made a choice to do what was best for Lot. Lot loved Lot, by the way. Lot did not love Abraham, loved Lot, but Lot loved Lot even more. And Lot wanted the bigger lot on the better side of town. But I want to tell you something about this. Lot did what was best for him, and not one time did he consider what God wanted. And not one time did he consider how this might affect Abram, who was his father at the time. But watch something else. Abram was his elder, and the word elder translates to mean pastor. He did not care what his dad, now my dad was my pastor, so he did not care what his, just like Lot, I was in the position with Lot. Lot did not care what his dad, his father thought, or his pastor. That never serves us well. He never one time went to Abram for counsel, did he, and say, should I be doing this? Let me help you out just a little bit. I think like Absalom, that leaving had been in his heart for a long, long time. There's an old country song about divorce. Have you got leaving on your mind? Most people do before they leave, a long, long, long time before they leave. They've thought about leaving. Their heart has left the relationship before their feet and their bags are out the door. And this is why we should take every thought that is wrong captive and submit it to the cross. And here, let me read to you verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, now lift up your eyes. Remember? Now watch this. Lot was lifting up his eyes. He was lifting up and he was looking towards Sodom. He was looking at something that was not God at all. He was looking at evil. And you know what? We don't need to set our gaze on what's out there in the world, do we? Not at all. And so he lifting up his eyes. Now watch this. And the Lord told Abram, now lift up your eyes. Now lift up your eyes. I love this, by the way. And look from the place where you are. Look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. And all the land that you see, I will give it to you and your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Now, watch this. Lot had to go before Abraham could receive this, and God, he could hear from God clearly, because God's intention, do you notice that God did not say, look to the north, south, east, and west, and this is the land that I will give you and Lot's seed? He did not say that, did he? Because you know why? Because God's got a plan for your life. And Lot was being disobedient. He was in pride, and he wanted the things of the world. So God was telling Abram, these things are for you. These are kingdom blessings that God has for you. And they don't belong to somebody who's interested in the things of the world and who's got their sights on the material things of God and who's willing to worship the sun and moon and stars, but not the God who created them. And Lot's blessings, by the way, anything that Lot had was because of Abram. His father did not live long enough to give him an inheritance. Any inheritance that Lot had, I'm telling you, I've done my homework, it came right from Abram, his father. And he should have been saying, thank you, Father Abraham, just like we should say, because the blessings of Abraham are ours today. And, you know, here's something that I thought of. Lot's children, and we're going to talk extensively in just a short time, not all tonight, about Lot's children, his daughters, and his wife. You know what happened to his wife, and she turned. And you know what happened to his daughters? The daughters wind up sleeping with him and all. You know what? He didn't raise a godly family. He didn't raise his kids in church. He didn't make them come to church. He did not make them obey him. And he should have. And he didn't even respect his own father, Abram. And so Lot's children never seen him at an altar. They never seen him calling upon the name of the Lord. And that's what I've always said. If I can't leave my children a dime, Sandra, I pray. And not a dime. Did you hear that? That's part of the message. That's part of the message. That they will remember that she called upon the name of the Lord at the altar of the Lord. That's all I want. That's all I want. Because that's the inheritance that they need. They don't need the money. They'll spend the money on new jeans and shoes, and it will be gone. But they can have the inheritance of the Lord, and it will last them throughout eternity. And if that's the inheritance we give our children, then it's more than enough. And I'm speaking to parents tonight to take care of your children and things at home. What does it profit a man to gain his own soul, to gain everything and lose his own soul, his household? And we are quick to, we see that although Lot was quick to want what he thought was the best choice for him, he was actually walking away from the blessings of the Lord, from the blessings of Abram. And it did not, but here's the situation. Although Lot did not love Abram, Abram still loved Lot, because in this story, Abram is a reference to the Father God. It did not stop Abram from continuing as his father. You know, he may have a bratty kid in Lot, but Abram still honored him. But God is honoring Abram. And I want to share something with you. In the middle of the chaos, it's hard to hear from God. And I'm sure Abram was, you know, having trouble with Lot, and it just seems so hard. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Lot. Lot should have, when the herdsmen begin to fight, when they begin to argue, when they begin to have trouble, you are to respect your elders, and you are to ask for godly counsel, and especially a father, a godly father like Abram, a pastor like Abram that you have access to, but you could care less what he thinks. He should have stepped in, and I know Lot's part of the fighting, because he should have stepped in and said to his herdsmen, he should have took care of business and said, you all listen up. I'm going to fire every last one of you that disrespect my father, Abram. You will listen. You will not fight with his herdsmen. You will do what they say. God will bless us, and we will go to the altar of the Lord and call on the name of the Lord. He never intervened. Instead, and even when Abram said separate, what's wrong with the Lot that he couldn't have said, you know what? I have lots of blessings. You've been good to me, Father Abram. I'm going to take care of this. I want, what can I do to make it right? He never one time did that. He's like, nope, nope, over there. I'm going to leave over there. I see something better. I'm going to go over there. You know, but sometimes God has to remove us from ungodly relationships. And it doesn't mean that I leave. It means that God will remove people from me. You know, that is quite a phenomenon that I noticed in the kingdom. I can remember a time where I loved a friend who had attended this fellowship so much, and that friend left our church, and I was heartbroken. And I asked, and I didn't understand why. They never told me why. I begged God, send her back. Send her back, God. I'm begging you, send her back. Sometimes God will allow to happen exactly what you do, what you ask him for. And that did happen. Almost supernaturally, this person just showed up again and began to assimilate themselves back into the fellowship. Finally, they left again. But this time, I did not beg God. The trouble was so bad by then that I did not one time pick up that phone. I did not send one text, one heart, one flower, one God bless you, one hello, please go to, not one time. Because here's what God told me. When I asked God, I said, why, God, if this person was going to cause that amount of trouble the second time, why did you allow her to come back? You asked me, and I let her come back so I could show you why she has to go and get out of here, and you'll be okay with it this time. If you get enough hell going back to that guy, you will be okay when that guy leaves, finally. If you go through enough hell and you keep asking God, give him to me, and God goes, go right ahead. You just kick the door down. But the next time he leaves out that door, you're going to have a party and a celebration, and you're going to thank God for his will, not thy will, but my, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not going to be my way. It has to be Yahweh, his way, God's way. And if we don't learn that lesson, that God's protecting us, that God's got our back in everything, we're going to want Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to want things that are so bad for us, and we're going to want people in our life, and we're going to drag along these lots with us, and we're taking a curse with us because God never authorized us to have Lot in our life. Lot should be back in Ur, because you know why he should have stayed in Ur, and you know why God didn't want him to come with him? Because his heart was for idol worship, and we're going to see that, because he is actually going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah, and by the way, he likes it there. He did it himself. I didn't ask him to go there. Abram didn't ask him to go there. He went there himself. And Abram, even when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'll tell you this quick situation, there was a time Sodom and Gomorrah were fighting with Chedorlaomer, and he was in control, and they were losing. And in this process, Lot and his goods and the women and everybody were taken. In this war, he gets involved in a civil war over in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a man who escaped and came to Abram, some do-gooder, some good person that, you know, kind of knew. There was Abram knew Lot, and Lot knew Abram and the story. And Abram got together all of his trained men, trained to fight warriors. And he went, because remember, Abram has the good heart. He still loves Lot. Because you can love somebody even if God takes them out of your life. And he was still his father. The prodigal father still loved the son, even though the son had to go for a time, for a season. And Abram got his men together, and he brought back all the goods of Lot and the women and the people. And Abram saved Lot, because Abram represents God's love. And he continues to show mercy to us time and time again, even when we don't deserve it. And it would not be mercy, in fact, if we did deserve it. And the king of Sodom tried to give Abram material blessings, and Abram said, no, I don't even want a shoe buckle from you. I literally don't even want a shoe buckle for you. That's not why I'm here. That's not what I want. Because Abram had the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you something. I don't even want a shoe buckle from the enemy. Nothing, nothing. It's not a blessing. If it's from the enemy, it's part of idol worship. It's something I do not want. And God is about to make a covenant with Abram, and it is going to be powerful. We're gonna get into that next week, and I promise you don't want to miss this. But I want to kind of transition and close with something that's been on my heart. It's this thing that God has your back, that in every situation that God is taking care of you, that God has your back, that God is on your side, and that God is for you. He is with you. God is in you. God is working on your behalf even when you don't see it, even when you don't understand it, even when it's hard, even when you're going through hard stuff. Somehow God is protecting you. Somehow God is helping you in the situation, and your eyes may not even be open to it yet. I'm going to read a verse or two here as our musicians prepare. Isaiah 52 and 13 says, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you." God's going to be ahead of you. In everything you do, God's ahead of you. He's already, like I said yesterday, he's already in that fire. They would have been burned alive. He's already in that storm. Before you got to the storm, God was already in that storm. He went ahead of you, it says, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And that's why I say God's got your back. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He has surrounded you. He's surrounded you with blessing. And you will not leave in a hurry running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. And thine ears shall hear a word behind you, Isaiah 30, 31. And the word behind you will say, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand. And then when you turn to the left, God will literally tell you which way to walk, where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say. He is with you. He's on your side. And wherever you go, no matter if it's even a time of famine, I want to say this, where God leads you, he will feed you. Where God leads you, if he leads you to a hard place, he will feed you at the hard place. It may be by the brook Cherith. It may be by manna from heaven. But whatever it is, we don't need to be afraid. Where God leads us, he will feed us. So God is a good God. He is a great God. But most of all, he is my God. He is your God. And it does not even matter. You can say all day, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Wear a pin that says Jesus is Lord. It does not matter until the day you say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. He can be Lord of the heavens. He can be Lord of the earth. But it does not matter unless he is my Lord, unless I am surrendered. And how wonderful that we have the Holy Spirit that leads us and helps us and keeps us and cares for us. And, you know, there is so much more, but I do not want to go ahead and step into this. But Lot cared about Lot, and he did not even care. We're going to see next week about his own family. He did not care to lead his wife. He did not care for her, and he did not care for his daughters. And I can tell you it's going to take a very ominous turn when we see that Lot so would have had his own daughters harmed instead of protecting his daughters when the men came to the door. And the men were demanding, and they surrounded the house. And the men were demanding for these angels to come. Bring those men out. Bring those men out. And you know, Lot, instead, he could have just said no. You know he could have said no, right? He could have said, no, we're not going to do this. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. But instead of saying no, you know what he said? How about if I give you my daughters? You know what? There's a lesson there. Are we going to give the world our children? Are we just going to send our children out there to the world and let them be harmed? Just because, and here's Lot. You know what? Where Lot would have been when his daughters would have been outside with those men? Inside the house like a coward. When do we stand up for righteousness and serve the Lord? That's just going to show you, this is just a beginning of next week, but it's going to show you how far sin will take you, how warped your mind will be. You'll think right is wrong and wrong is right, that evil is good and good is evil. That's why we bow our knees at the altar of the Lord. That's why Abram dug wells. That's why Lot had to get away from Abram, because sin is like a yeast. It's contagious. It's contagious and it grows, and you can't have it in your life. You cannot associate with those who have corrupt morals. It will corrupt you. You will not save it. It will corrupt you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.